Grace to you and peace from the living Christ, our prophet, priest, and king. Dear brothers and sisters, we meditate today on the gospel lesson printed in the worship folder at the bottom of page 3, Mark 9, 2 through 9. This is from the New International Version, 1984. I'll be reading from the Wartburg Project, the Gospel of Mark, now in popular review. Mark 9, beginning at verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were alone by themselves. There he was transfigured in front of them. His clothing became radiant, dazzling white, whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let's make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, since they were terrified. A cloud appeared and overshadowed them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they did not see anyone with them, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus, our shining Savior, dearly redeemed fellow disciples of our Lord Jesus. Have you ever seen light that just looks so bright and glorious that you couldn't help stopping to gaze at it? Vividly, it reminded me this morning of a time when I was probably fourth or fifth grade, walking through the dark forest behind our house on the Oregon coast and explaining to a friend of mine, "I know these woods like the back of my hand." Directions were clear. If we go over that way, we'll find the way out, shortcut to his house. Sure enough, we come out of the dark forest to a clearing, and the light is just as bright as can be up above, breaking through the Douglas firs. But down on the ground, which is true of most forests on the coast, there was a huge field clearing of blackberries. They are the tastiest blackberries. They grow like weeds. They need herbicides to kill them so they don't overtake your garden. You can pick them and eat them, but you can't pass through. You cannot get through a bramble pile of blackberries unless you cut your way through, and you'll be cut on the way. I was lost. And for some strange reason that day, I heard someone calling my name in the forest. My older brother Rock was out looking for me, and to this day I don't understand why. But I was awfully glad to see him. He was like my dad. He always knew which way to go, which way back. And as sure as I was that I knew my way, that's how sure I was lost. And how good it was to have somebody come along and say, "This is the way out." We are sheep lost, the sheep of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and would be lost entirely. We constantly are wandering away. Except that there is this voice of God who came in the person of his own Son to show us the smiling face of God and grant us his peace as the good shepherd who leads his sheep out of their absolute certainty and death and destruction and lostness to safety back home with God. Listen to God's beloved Son. He is the prophet of the prophets. Every religion that has arisen before Christ and since has claimed that they have the prophet. They claim to have the last word from God. In spite of that passage in Hebrews 1 that says, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Christ, who is the radiance of God's glory, the shining reflection of God's face, shining as God on your faces and mine, so that we would know the way home to heaven. Jesus has been pressing forward with his disciples to teach them. He's got them far north of Galilee now, as far north as the Israelites settled up in Dan and Caesarea Philippi and up that way. And he's trying to teach his disciples, and he's telling them something they don't want to hear. It happens right after Peter made his great confession. Because Jesus was asking his disciples, who do people say I am? And one guesses this, another guesses that. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, that's good. People did not tell you that. It was the Father who teaches you that. You are the Christ. But then right after that, Jesus starts to tell them about his suffering and death. He's going to die on a cross, be tortured and killed. This is the part they missed. He's going to rise again on the third day. It's like that went in one ear and out the other, and all they heard was the suffering part. And Peter starts to argue with Jesus. Now, this is Jesus' lead disciple telling Jesus, not you, Lord. That'll never happen to you. And Jesus has to rebuke Peter right after his beautiful confession of the Christ, confession of faith. But Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. We all need to be corrected. Because we all have this idea in mind that it should not be difficult to be a Christian. We should be able to just follow the Lord, be happy every day, and the sun is going to shine all the time. And what do you do on the days of clouds and darkness and difficulty if all you have is a sunshine faith? If all you have is this idea that things are going to be easy? At those times in our lives, we all need to be told by Jesus, listen, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? That eternal part of you, that part that is you, will go on forever, either in the eternal life of heaven with God or the eternal conscious death in hell. It is the soul for which Jesus came and then gave them a vision of his glory. Now, I want you to notice where this Sunday of Transfiguration is coming in the church year. We've gone through the Sundays after the Epiphany of our Lord where he's shining forth as God, and we are about ready to go into the 40 days of Lent. Lent just means spring, but in the springtime, in preparation for Easter, we have to follow Jesus to the cross. And in a beautiful teaching tool, the ancient church put the transfiguration of our Lord on this Sunday right between Epiphany and Lent. Because we need to see this as Jesus needed to see it along with his disciples. About 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up on a high mountain where they were alone by themselves. Then there he was transfigured in front of them, changed in his appearance. His clothing became radiant, dazzling white, whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them. So we use white in the pyramids and vestments on Transfiguration Sunday. But I can tell you that after a few months, it's not quite as white as it used to be in the collar of my robe, for instance. Stains come on the altar pyramids if we spill the wine. But Jesus had this garment, these robes that were shining with light from the inside. They were absolutely perfect in their brilliance because he's shining forth as God. Dazzling white, shining brighter than anyone, whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them. And then Elijah appeared with them and with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. The gospel that the Holy Spirit inspired through Luke, the gospel account of Luke, tells us that they were talking about Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. Who better to encourage our Lord than the prophet through whom the Lord gave the law in the Old Testament that says, thou shalt and thou shalt not, and mess up once even in your feelings, you're condemned. That was the law of Moses. And Elijah, the prophet who came along in difficult times and kept telling the people, the Lord is God, there is one Lord God, and you answer to him. You look to him as your refuge and strength and the one who sends the coming Messiah. Moses and Elijah were there with Jesus on that sacred mountain. Do you realize how much Jesus needed that encouragement? Remember, this is his time of humiliation when he has set aside the full use of his divine power and glory. He has made himself nothing, it says, taking on the very nature of a servant, made in human likeness and tempted in every way just as we are and yet without sin. He suffered when he was tempted. He hurt. And so in knowing as God that he, from the beginning knowing this, that he was going to suffer and die on that cross, there were no illusions for Jesus. He was very wise to wait before he told his disciples about this toward the end of his ministry, because Peter's reaction shows how they felt. But Jesus needed the encouragement of God's word through those prophets, Moses and Elijah, who kept telling the people, Christ is coming. The Messiah will be here. The Savior of the world. My dear Christian friends, if our Lord Jesus needed the encouragement, shouldn't we expect that at times we will too? Times when life really feels like it's pressing in on you, when it feels like it's been a long time since you saw the sunshine? Or maybe you thought you had everything planned out real well, and you were just working your way through this darkness and friends were following you and you came all of a sudden to what you thought was the brightest light. And you can pick the berries and eat them. But you can't get through there. And you will never find your way home unless the Good Shepherd comes, as he always does, seeking the lost sheep, a fellow Christian, the Lord's mouthpiece, saying, this way, here's the Lord. Christ begins. Follow him. Because there, in seeing the prophet of the prophets, the one whom Moses said the Lord would send, a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. There he is. Because the prophet of the prophets is also the Lord of the church. Who of us can blame Peter? Who of us is not like Peter in more ways than we want to admit? Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, since they were terrified and excited. They're seeing Jesus finally shining as true God, the great Messiah, the conqueror that they wanted. And Peter wanted to stay there, to keep that shining glory visible on that sacred mountain. How could it be better than to be there with Jesus and the most famous prophets of the Old Testament Israelites, Moses and Elijah? Have you ever had a time when you wished, I just wish I could just sit down and talk with Jesus about this? Isn't that your heart yearning to be on that mountain with the Lord? And yet, you can talk with Jesus at all times. He's only a breath away. And Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And if that's not clear enough, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, weighed down with guilt and grief and shame. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. You come to Jesus. You've come to God, but in his mercy and his grace, the one who came seeking you, the one who finds you, and brings you home. But Peter is also like congregations can be sometimes. I do believe that we as a congregation are pretty much right there with Peter at this time in our existence. We have had a mountaintop experience, if there was one, on our 25th anniversary. Visually, it's a joy to come and see our remodeled sanctuary. You may even be convinced that these padded pews are more comfortable than the chairs were before. And now it's my job to make sure you realize they're not so comfortable. And yet, we have these wonderful blessings of the sound system, the projector remodeled, so many things that the Lord has given us, and all of that pales compared to that day in October, our anniversary service, when so many of our former members came back and celebrated with us. But can we stay on that sacred mountain? Can we stay in that emotional high? And what happens in congregations when it feels like a cloud has set in? And then dear loved ones, active members in the past, leave without explanation. Dear ones, dear friends, who in going away take part of your heart with them, and we grieve. A pastor at conference asked me about that and then told me about a time in his ministry when one of the elder type men in the congregation, he just said, left a note on his desk and would not respond to any efforts to call or write or email to visit, nothing. There are things that we don't understand, sometimes from confessing Christians that we will always love dearly. I believe at times like that, we are so, I'm like that, so anxious to hang on to what was. And it ends up clouding my mind of all the blessings that have been until the Lord brings me to that sacred, settled peace that he did for Peter. When after Peter's outburst, a cloud appeared and overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." He's the Lord of the church. He knows what's going on. He knows how to bless pastors and people and congregations far beyond what we can imagine. He knows how to bless us so much that those we miss as loved ones, we can pray for, maybe welcome back someday, but look forward to seeing them also in heaven as the Lord keeps their faith alive through word and sacrament. That's our prayer. That's our confidence. But suddenly, as they looked around, they did not see anyone but only Jesus. This has been the story of my life and my ministry. The Lord very skillfully and lovingly, patiently, firmly making me stop looking at the things around me and put my focus on him. Like that time when disciples came back from a successful ministry mission trip and they're all excited because they said, "Even the demons submit to us." Remember what Jesus said? Don't rejoice in that. Don't rejoice in your ministry success. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The Lord again and again brings us to that place when he says, stop looking around. Stop looking down. Look up and see only Jesus. Listen only to him. He is the Lord of the church. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. People would misuse that information at that time because they were looking for a Messiah like that who could be a conquering hero and drive out the Romans and give them all the bread they wanted and pay their taxes for them and give them free health care and do everything else to make their life easy here on this earth. That's what they wanted, Jesus says, after his suffering and death and resurrection. Then they could tell. And that's where we are. We are at that point day by day as we follow our Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, where the question is always as simple as this. Are we going to follow our feelings or follow God's word? What's the difference? Oh, you'll learn. Follow Jesus and you'll learn the difference. The difference between feelings and faith. In Jeremiah, it says the heart is deceitful above all else. Who can understand it? If you follow your heart, you follow your feelings, you'll be misled. There's no other way. But follow Christ. Follow the Lord of the church, the prophet of the prophets, the Son of God, dearly loved by the Father, and you will be safe and secure. Sometimes the flock is disturbed because the storms are gathering and the lightning is flashing, and all they really need is for the Good Shepherd to walk among them so that they can hear the sound of his voice soothing their soul. As long as you see only Jesus and you hear his voice, follow me, you're safe. We are safe. Because Christ was transfigured before them. And in Christ, we are transformed from weary, worrying, wandering sheep to the blessed flock of our Lord Jesus Christ following him. It's time to see only Jesus. It's time to come off that mountaintop experience down to the plain and onto that other mountain, Calvary, with that wretched cross that should have been ours, but that glorious cross where the Prince of Glory died and shed his blood for your sins and mine. The season of Lent is upon us. Wednesday evenings, I hope that you have set those aside for our Lord Jesus to follow him in his passion, starting this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, so that we can come in repentant faith to Jesus, listen to him, and receive again this blessed assurance of forgiveness full and free. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Christ begins. Amen.